You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and also then Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. And we're going to talk about tests and trials and temptations and things like that just a little bit tonight. I was talking to my son. He got saved about 4 or 5 months ago, and he's just really doing good, you know. And then he told me this week when we was in, he said, boy, he said, I had the test. I said, you did? He said, yeah. And he said, he told me about on his job and this and that, something else, a trial here and a trial there and a trial somewhere else. But each time he was telling me how he reacted in that. And I was amazed how he handled the trial because he was just a winner every time, you see. And how many knows we're all going to be tempted? I don't want to lie to nobody because we're going to be tried. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tempted. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus was tempted himself. It says in verse 16, Matthew 3, 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now you would think that everything's shouting from then on, wouldn't you? This is my, you know, God spoke of him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Come up out of the water, you know, the dove, like the Holy Ghost descending upon him in the form of a dove and lighting upon him. But look at chapter 4, verse 1. Then, see, victory then. This is my beloved Son, and then. You know, then something else going to happen, isn't it? And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, now, let's look at that. Did God do that? The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How many knows that trials makes you strong? I don't know how many hundreds or even thousands of them that I've went through, but every one of them makes me stronger in the Lord. I don't like them. I'm like you. I don't like temptation. I don't like trials. I don't like things that comes against me, but I have to deal with those things. But the great part of this is when you go through those trials, it toughens you in where you can help someone else that's going through a trial after a while. How many knows there's a lot of Christians, new converts, and Brother Andy's been through a trial. Sister LaDonna there's in a trial. Sister Smith mentioned trials. Different ones of you mentioned trials. There's tests, and Brother Bill said we just have to pray, and that's exactly right. Jesus went out in the wilderness, And he was fasted and prayed. But here's the thing of it is, and then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. The purpose of it was for him to be tempted of the devil. See, sometimes we say the devil's caused this, the devil caused that. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will just lead us right out into a great big problem to be tempted of that, and it tries our faith. The trial of your faith. James said in James chapter 1, to verse 1, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Now, here, listen to this. Are you getting that? Count it all what? That's hard to do, ain't it? Well, here I am in a great big old trial and a big old test, you know, and feeling the pangs of the things that's coming against you, you know, and you feel all these things, but you count it all joy. In other words, when this is over, the joy is going to be greater than ever. Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So when you go through a trial, it doesn't seem joyous, but you can count it that way. So Jesus was led into the Spirit, by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he was hungry. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was led there to be tempted. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be, the tempter said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Don't you know that was tempting to him? 40 days fast, being tempted of the devil now. And the devil said, you know who you are, in other words. And if you just wanted to, you could turn these stones to bread. You could have something to eat if you just wanted to, because you have the power to do that. But Jesus said, listen to what he said. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He tells us how to live. Man can't live by bread alone. You know, we like to eat bread. Different kinds, huh? I love cornbread. I'm still old country style. I like cornbread and milk nearly every day or so. Bread. Toast. Biscuits. Biscuits and bread. The devil was really tempting him, wasn't he? If you wanted to, you could turn these stones to bread. But Jesus said, wait a minute here. You ain't going to hang this on me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out from the mouth of God. See, our job is to not live by bread alone or not allow temptation to get a hold of us, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God, we're to live by that. Here the devil comes again. Right away. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. That's a high place. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. Now that's scripture too, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Now the devil comes right back at him. Jesus told the devil, he said, now you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. And then the devil said, well, here, try this scripture. That is scripture. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus gave him a scripture. Jesus said in verse 7, it is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus counteracted him with another scripture. How many know you may be able to counteract the devil with another scripture if he happens to try to quote one to you? So Jesus said, it's also written, in other words, again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then verse 8, the devil comes again. And the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all, listen to this, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The devil takes him, said, up on a high mountain. You know, that's what gets us so many times, is the kingdoms of this world. And the devil showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. Did you get that? And the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He said, if I can't get you by the word, and I can't get you by temptation, I'm going to get you in the worship. And that's where the devil has come to at the church more than anything else in this last day, is worship. Getting the people worshiping, they don't know what. You took those folks that you see on television that's jumping up and down, playing rock music and jumping up and down, saying that that's worship. I'm going to tell you, it's like the woman at the well. Jesus said to her, you worship, you know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. And that's what a lot of folks can get into in church. You know, they don't know what they're worshiping. It's got a sound to it. It's got something that goes on, and it's something that seems like it might be worship. But I'm going to tell you, the true worshipers, the Bible said, shall worship him in spirit. He told the woman at the well, they shall worship him in spirit and in truth. And worshiping God in spirit and in truth, we might be weeping, we might be praying. That's in spirit. And in truth, we might be doing what the Word of God said. That's truth too. How many knows that the Word of God is truth? His Word is truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus knows the way. He is the way through the wilderness. He is the truth. He is the life. The devil say he's trying to trick him now. And he says unto him, all these things will I give thee. Don't you know? Here, he took him up on a high mountain there and showed him down there. He looked down and seen all the kingdoms of this world. The kingdom of money. The kingdom of prosperity. The kingdom of drugs. How many of those, they call those guys that sell them and get big lots, they call them drug what? Drug lords and drug kings. They got suitcases full of money. All kinds. But you see, that's another kingdom of this world. There's all kinds of kingdoms of this world that's out there to tempt you, to try you. You look at it, it looks good. It looks like these folks are happy. You take on a billboard as you go down the road and you see some woman dressed, or maybe not dressed very much, but anyway, with a great big glass of wine or something, and it looks like she's just doing fine. But it's a kingdom of this world. Or it could be a man dressed in the finest suit that money can buy. $1,000 suit, and he's driving a Rolls Royce and all those kind of things. And that looks important to the flesh. But I'm going to tell you something, that's a kingdom of this world. And unless God gives it, we don't want it. How many knows that? We don't need anything that God doesn't give us. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to what I said in verse 10, what Jesus answered him. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence. For it is written, he always uses the word. I'll tell you this, how many's getting the picture? The word is what you need to use against the devil. When he comes at you, give him scripture. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. How many's got to it? Hebrews 4, 12. It says, the word is a battle weapon. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it is a battle weapon, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the spirit, the soul, and the joints and the marrow, and is the, what? Discerner of the thoughts and the intent of our heart. So the word of God is quick, it is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the spirit, the soul, and the joints, and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. He said, is not, Jeremiah 23:29 said, is not my word like fire, saith the Lord? Is it not like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? John 6:63 tells us something else too. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. So the words of Christ, the words of God, are quick. They're powerful. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. The word, they're quickened. They quicken. In other words, quickened means they're alive. So Jesus, in this battle, he's winding down his temptation with the devil. And he says, Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, the word says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now wait a minute here, he said, him only shalt thou serve. Do you reckon anybody out there serving the devil? How many likes fried potatoes? Huh? How many like corn on the cob? Some do, and maybe some don't. But you see, that's food. But look what man does with it. He grinds up the corn, puts it in a barrel, and makes mash out of it, and then turns it into whiskey, and then that whiskey controls him. Instead of him controlling what God gave us to eat, man does something where, see, the alcohol controls him. You can take potatoes and also make vodka out of them, and man can get hooked on that, and that vodka can control them. I had an uncle that was controlled by gambling. He started gambling when he was a young man, and he gambled all his life. Everybody tried to get him. He knew the Bible. He quoted. But he was a gambler, and he died a gambler. They was behind the tie yard there, and they was gambling, and he had a heart attack, and before they got him to the hospital, he died. A gambler. He was hooked on it. You see, there's so many things that are good that we can twist them around to where instead of us supervising it, it'll supervise you. Try to lie, it'll take over. These things will take us over. Well, let's see Jesus coming out of the wilderness here. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 12. Now, Jesus coming out of the wilderness. Can you picture him? He's empowered. You know why? Because he overcame. You mean God would put his own son through a test like that? Yes. He lets us go through tests too. And it says in verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, he's talking about this is like it was in Matthew. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus, listen to this. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. How many got that? He went through all these trials. He came out of those trials. How many knows that Jesus is our example? Somebody's not our example, but Jesus is our example. The way he does things is the way he wants us to do things. He says, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the way. So he is the way. Follow his example. So he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, and fame went out of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He taught in their synagogue. So that brings us to another thing. Let's go back to the flesh, and let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9, why should we want to be spiritual? Why should we want to walk with God? Now here we got some more writing here. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I know I'm preaching to a group of people here that loves God. But what is he saying to them that love God? But as it is written, eyes not seen. It's a wonderful thing. Ears not heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You just can't imagine how much you got for them that loves God. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's what we're talking about this morning in the Sunday school class. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The deep things of God are prepared for those that love him and those that search the Scriptures. One Scripture said, search the Scriptures for you. In them you think you have eternal life, but Jesus said, these are they that testify of me. Just search them all you want to. These are they that testify of me. Every place in this Bible is dealing somewhere with the Lord. Now listen to what it said. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So we have to have the Spirit of God to search out the things of God. How many knows that? In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 again, it said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, no man can do it. We have to have the Spirit to search out the things of the Spirit. It said the Spirit of man knows the Spirit of man, but the Spirit of God searches out the deep things of God. How many wants to get deeper in the things of God? Huh? I'll tell you, if you want to get deeper in the things of God, just get more of the Spirit in you. It'll begin to search out the thing. Now listen to what he said. Verse 11. What man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Let's look at that one. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. When you get saved, you didn't get the spirit of the world. What spirit did you get there? But the Spirit which is of God. When God gives us something, he gives us his Spirit, not the spirit of the world. He said we didn't receive the spirit of the world. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We're right on that now. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the reason he gives us the Spirit of God is so we may know the things that's freely given to us of God. How many people know? You see, most people don't know what they really got. Huh? Did you know he supplied everything for us? It's there. All we got to do is search it out. Get into the depths of the things of the... Another scripture said, the deep calls to the deep. Amen. When I got saved, I wanted to get into the things of the depth of the things of God. Deep things of God. And that's what he's saying here. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. What all has God given us? It takes a spiritual understanding to see that God has given us healing. Oh, we have to search for healing. No. You might have to search for healing because we don't understand. But what made us heal? By his what? By his stripes we're healed. That's all paid for. You just got to know it there. Right. Here for a while, a few months back or a year or two ago, we started, the person got sick, they got healed. They broke a bone, God healed them. Back at that time, we knew what God had given. But sometimes, well, isn't it same that we become forgetful hearers of the word, and after a while we get to a place that we can't accept our healing, that we can't accept the Spirit, that we can't accept the power, that we don't know the things that God has given us, it just kind of dies out. And in other words, we get back in the carnal mind and not the spiritual mind. But you know, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And things are going to begin to happen. People begin to get healed. People begin to get delivered. People begin to get saved. And there's no greater miracle in the world than a person getting saved. A person that's born again. He becomes a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. He's a new creature in Christ. You know, when they was going along with Jesus through the towns, and it said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, you can tell when a person's been with Jesus. They talk about Jesus. I'd give anything in the world if everyone could have seen that man on closing night down at Donovan that got saved. He was an alcoholic. And I don't know, he may have had some of them peddling drugs around him. He had always had a crowd there at his house. But when he got a glorious look on his face, you could see Jesus. You know what he done? He went home. You know what Jesus done when he went into the temple one day? And there they was. They were selling doves and to be sacrificed and selling this and selling that to be sacrificed. And Jesus turned and they had money on their tables and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus then went through the place, turning the tables upside down, and he took a whip and run them out of the temple. Huh? That don't sound like Jesus, does it? But he's angry when people use the place of God, the house, the temple of God, for the wrong purpose. Now, wait a minute here. Let's back up again. Where is the temple of God? I want you to point at the temple of God right now. And when we use this temple wrong, he's angry. I've heard of many old time preacher preaching. Some of you that know have been in this long enough. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I heard that message when I first got saved. I've heard it and I heard it and I heard it. And it is. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But it's a wonderful thing to fall in the hands of a God that's loving. We realize what we've got and He begins to bless us and do everything that we have need of. A living God. Now we've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. The reason we got them is so we know what we got. I tell you, I like to take inventory of what I got. What have I got? Number one, I got Jesus. Number two, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Huh? I've got that. Number three, I've got power. Not my power, but His power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Hey, you got power. How many's happy you got power? You got power over all the evil works of the devil. He gave us power. Let's go a little further. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Not with man's wisdom. We have these things which we speak, not in the words of men's wisdom, or how he teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing. Now, let's look at the next verse here. Verse 14 tells us about the natural man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man just can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They just can't believe it. Can't believe it. Can't believe. But the spiritual man understands spiritual things. We'll get into that. We're almost done. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The reason is because they're foolishness unto him. Foolishness unto him. You know, I always heard of people in the old time Pentecostal churches, that the fire wouldn't burn them in certain times. And one day, at Alton, Missouri, in an old country church, the old saints of God began to shout around, and there was a woman backed up against the stove, and I mean it was red hot in places, and she backed up against that stove and kind of leaned over backwards on that stove and stayed there a few seconds, and people were standing in awe, and finally somebody said, get her over there, get her over there, and they got her over there. And they took her outside, some of the women did, and said that they thought to dress all the burns and things that she had. And she didn't have one burn. Huh? You know the people around town that didn't understand things like that, they said, I don't believe that. You know that a person back up against the stove, they're going to get burned. I don't believe that. So somebody said, well, we're going to go ask Brother Buckner if that really happened. They come out there and they said, yes. I said, yes, that really happened. But it was a turmoil in town there because that went all over town that Sister Cisco backed up against that hot stove, the old jumbo stove there in the middle of the church, and leaned over against it, and it was hot, and she didn't get burned. Now, the natural man cannot understand that. The natural man won't believe that. But with the Spirit, I can understand how that it works. We don't understand faith. Through faith, Hebrews chapter 11 said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Here's one for you to understand, and you can only understand it by faith. How can you believe that God spoke? And boom, the world and the stars. Genesis 1:1-4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That kind of sounds like most churches. And without form and void and darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Well, there's light. Can you understand that? You know, that's be easier to me to understand how a woman wouldn't get burned on the stove than it is to how him just speak the word and boom, the whole universe. And he looks around and says, in darkness is his own face, and he said, maybe I better bring a little light in. Let there be light. Boom. Light. The natural man will never understand. It takes faith. Through faith, we understand that the world, Hebrews chapter 11, that the world was framed by the word of God. Through faith. The only through faith. You know, I just never could, before I got saved in my younger years when I was in my 20s, I got a book and got studying on evolution a little bit. And, you know, I kind of believe in, you know, they believe that man kind of gets formed out of something that gets in the mud, you know, and something this, and it forms something like a tadpole, and then it's a fish, or this, and then the fish, you're finally involved into a man. But one day, just a plain old sinner spoke to me, and he said, you're dabbling with this evolution. He said, let me give you a question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I said, well, it took the chicken to lay the egg, and then it took the egg to hatch the chicken to lay the egg. Wait a minute. That had to be created in existence by some kind of a creative force. It changed my mind. It began to get a hold of me. Just what that sinner said. What, Mr. Smart, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I ain't figured it out yet, which came first, but I know it has to be the chicken. Because God created the chicken, and the chicken laid the egg. But that's simple understanding God. The spiritual things of God. God wants us to begin to believe the things that he's talking about here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14 is where we've just got done reading. Now verse 15 says, now here's the good news. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How many knows that the Lord give us his mind? Where's that scripture at that tells us he gave us his mind? Anybody know? Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he gave it to us if we'll just accept it. It says, let it be in us. Spiritual in mind. God wants us spiritually minded. Romans 8 and 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. Because we're satisfied, and we know that God done it. I know that somebody built this building. And I'm going to tell you something. God furnished the material. Huh? God furnished the tree. God furnished the material to build this building. And we have a church to worship in because God furnished the material and then men figured out how to build a building. And then we have a spiritual building. Whatever it's found, I hope you've received something about this. I didn't go back to where I was at this morning, but we will probably Tuesday night. But I want to tell you something. The message God gave me tonight, it just formed in my spirit in a few minutes this afternoon. And I just begin to rehearse scriptures that I remembered. And that's the way that it works. Our mind needs to be spiritually minded because it's life, it's peace. And the kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we have to let Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Sing a song, and if anybody needs prayer,